Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard.
You already got me in like a mini rant backstage before the show even started.
About your nose or about the money?
About the money. Well, I mean, the sinus thing, the keynote, which we'll, get into, but I mean, just about the money, this amazing film by Jeff Hayes that we're going to, run some of and talk about is about the money. I mean, it talks about vaccines and it talks about health impact and, it talks about everything, but it is so, and experts are, talking about it in the film of, it's about the money, follow the money, look at the jobs, where's the money? Okay. Excuse me.
Yeah,
good morning, everybody.
The impact of that. Yes, good morning. We are we are simultaneously
simulcasting.
Simulcasting. I never can remember that word, Richard. On Blog Talk Radio and over at WebEx from our website, soundhealthoptions.com, which is getting a facelift. We are sponsored by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health, one of the largest alternative health centers in Ohio, if not the largest. We're about 9,000 square feet. We try to bring you information and ideas to help you lead a more successful, alive life. Do you have anything to add to that, Richard, about why we do these shows?
Well, I'm laughing because part of why we do these shows, at least for me, is that I've been talking about these things for years, and I think at some point friends of mine said, stop talking to us. And so it was like, go somebody else and, talk about all these things. And here I am today co-hosting the show with Sherry Edwards, one of the leaders in the field of thinking about taking health back into our own hands, taking care of, health care. Self-healthcare. How about that?
I love the idea that you're here, Richard. You just make the show more rounded because I get on a rant and you quiet me down. You get on a rant, I quiet you down. Not quiet
exactly.
You down, but help you. We have a couple of announcements. Jill Mattson, who was on with us last week, has taken on the task of writing an antidote CD for Ebola. And she tells me this morning that it is 95% done, so we'll be able to look at that. If any of you would like the Ebola software, it is available on the site under Ebola Project. So soundhealthoptions.com, the pink Ebola Project on the left, and that will allow you to download the Ebola exposure software. That's kind of died down, at least here in Ohio, like it's kind of over. When we were trying to help with all of this, I don't know if it's going to flare up again or what's going to happen, if we're going to send all the information over to Africa. But I think we now know what we can do, almost instantly figure out the antidotes and provide those to all of you so that you can help the people in your neighborhood. We're going to be doing a class, not this next week coming, but the week after that, for something that is frightening in its growth, and that is diabetes in the United States, and they're even calling Alzheimer's now diabetes 3. Well, we have found another type of diabetes, and we're doing a project on that along with a couple other practitioners. We've been providing insulin through frequency, and that's been successful. And that leads us right back to Obamacare and things being rationed. And one of the things I found out recently is that with Obamacare, there is a ceiling on what you can spend. I don't think anybody has brought that out. You spend this much and that's it, no more. I think there's a few things in Obamacare that I like, but that one is scary. What if somebody has an absolute horrific cancer or accident or brain tumor and their insurance just runs out? What happens then? So we're going to talk about how we came about being in this situation with healthcare being so expensive and so convoluted. It's being touted, and they say it's clear, but it is clear as the income tax laws, which I hope they get rid of. I had a couple of things that I talked to Richard about yesterday and before the show, before we get into this new movie Bought that Jeff Hayes, who we've had on the show before, gave us and asked us to present it to our people. So one of them was about a woman who's afraid to use her TV, and I sent this on to Richard, and he said, yes, I know something about that. So, Richard, we have it up for those who are with us on WebEx. We have the article up, and I will give you the link so you can put it in the chat over there at Blog Talk Radio. But I think this is absolutely beyond belief. So, Richard.
Well, it's it's a TV. I mean, there are other products that do this, so that's why I'm not as shocked. I mean, I think it's, you know, spooky, but that's not why I'm not shocked about it. The idea of the TV, what it has on it is it has a camera up in the corner, and the theory of what the camera is used for is so that you could, they're trying to have a move in technology where they've done this with a device made by Microsoft called the Xbox and some other gaming devices, video gaming devices, and exercise devices. And the idea is that the cameras, whether it's in this TV or an Xbox or another kind of device, there's another one, but I can't think of the name, is the camera watches your motion so that you can turn the you can swipe on, swipe off, move things, so that if you're using a system that's set up, you could actually go through a web page using your hands and waving and gesturing to the camera. And that's part of the purpose. And also the idea of the TVs monitoring the room. Mind you, this is a dumb device. The device itself is just a camera. So it has no agenda, but it's, you know, the software that's written by the people who produce the product. So the idea is that it's monitoring your motions so that it can see who comes into the room and recognize, you know, then use, it has a microphone built into it as well. So it's always listening, so that if you say, you know, Xbox on or Xbox turn on something or Xbox do this, because you have to use its name in the command, that it will do things for you, so it's voice-driven. Well, the trick of it is that it's always on. So that means that, you know, that's what the point of that article and the other parts about that article is, that it's, you know, let me repeat that, it's always on.
Even when the TV's off?
Even when the TV, well, because if you walk into the room and go TV on, it has to be listening to you to be able to do that. So if you want to have your device be voice command ready, it has to always be monitoring you. It's not a spy thing, not in terms of what the device is built for. The device is built so that if you want to use voice command, you can. But in order for that voice command capability to be available, it always has to be listening. Go ahead.
I would think this would be a good reason to take a TV out of your bedroom.
Boy, howdy. Well, I have, you know, on most of my devices, I just cover the camera.
Where is it?
On my computer, it happens to be at the top. On a lot of the newer computers, there's a little, you know, bulby thing, or sometimes when you're on a webinar or something, there's a little light that comes on, and the light is frequently right next to the camera, and it's usually on the laptops and on all Apple products, there's usually a camera at the top and a little light that lights up. And part of the reason that I turn it off is that I'm in and out of so many webinars, I don't want to suddenly pop in with my camera and turned on, and that there is the thing that's like, no, just no. Because there have been incidences where people have hacked into, like, let's say you have a college campus, and somebody has hacked into the Wi-Fi system, so the wireless network, they've hacked their way into that, and they're able to tap into webcams in college dorm rooms. Did I say any more? So, I mean, it can be done. I'm not saying that people are, I mean, probably people are out there doing it. But the point of, you know, of this, of the devices, whether it's the Xbox, which has also a camera and a microphone in it so that you can walk into the room and without touching anything, you can go Xbox, turn on Mario Brothers, or Xbox, play CD, or Xbox. The idea, the benefit, air quotes, is that you are able to speak to the device and control it. So the idea is that it's for your benefit. And in theory, I think that's really good. However, it's always on. Did I say it's always on? And it's connected to the internet?
So anybody can hack into it.
That's,
you know,
right.
James Ryson is up before the Supreme Court. They're trying to make him give his sources. And he talks about this same thing, that it was built, the tracking system was built for one thing, but the government is using it for totally something else. And a whistleblower got to James Ryson. He's written a couple books about this. We've got an interview with him that we're going to discuss. But the government doesn't keep its word about why something was built. I think,
well, part of that,
deplorable.
You know, I think what happens is that, you know, like when 9/11 happened and Baby Bush, George Bush Jr., signed the law giving the NSA the right to tap into the giant internet connection cable that goes internationally from the United States, basically said, go get anything you want, without any forethought or precautionary principle of like, oh, maybe that's not a great idea. I know we need to get, you know, think we're after terrorists. And oftentimes, you know, it's just like the drug cartels that, you know, once they get their foot in the door, they're not giving that back.
Yeah,
you know, they can do
it.
The same thing with selfie. You know, that, yeah, I mean, once they're in, why should we give the ability to do that back? I mean, with enough hacking, you can turn on somebody's microphone on a cell phone and listen on a conversation in a room.
Good.
But that's a separate show.
Well, we're going to talk about that, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, when we're going to talk about James Ryson. You had, I'm going to back up a second. You had a comment about Ebola that I didn't.
Okay. The comment had to do with, I'm trying to contact this doctor to do an interview with him. There's a doctor who has been doing a lot of work, for many years doing work with ozone, medical ozone for health and for issues and for helping reestablish cartilage and damaged bones, called prolozone therapy, where they inject ozone into an area and help stimulate the action of producing cartilage again. And also, he was invited to come to Africa and speak to governmental agencies about using ozone for controlling Ebola. And he went and presented, and there's like scads of research, not directly about Ebola, about killing viruses. And Ebola is a virus, and ozone will kill it. And so he... Say that again?
I want to know more. I can see how it's connective tissue, because part of the formula for ozone contains sulfur.
Right.
Medically,
yeah.
Based. And sulfur very much is a part of connective tissue.
Absolutely.
But, so he... Go ahead.
Okay. So he went, he presented, everybody was really thought it was just like amazing information, wanted to go out and teach people in clinics, doc practitioners, because you can use it as an adjunct to boost the immune system by getting it into the system either through something that's called an insufflation, which is like a rectal bolus, or you can do it by hyperbaric, where you take the blood out and you pressurize the blood and then you inject the ozone into the blood and put it back into the body. And you can do other, there are lots of ways of delivering it. And you can't inhale it. You have to take it dermally or, you know, some other vehicle. And so he lectured, and the, you know, crews and everybody were all excited, and he was off to teach people in the clinics how to be using it. it didn't involve a drug, you know. And then we need the sound effect of, like, it didn't involve a drug, dun dun dun. And the next thing you know, it shut down and he's asked to leave. That's all I'm saying. So it fits right into this show. That's why I wanted to mention it. It fits right into this movie of, you know, Follow the Money.
And we're going to talk about a couple of movies. We got two more things to discuss. Remember not too long ago when we talked about the MMR and how our Center for Disease Control knew it was damaging black kids, black children, black boys particularly, and they let it go on anyway? And then we talked about Gardasil against a cervical cancer, they say, which it really wasn't developed for that. But we talked about it in the context that California had made it mandatory that all girls, and now boys, have to get this papilloma shot, HPV. And the statistics were wrong. The information was wrong. The person who even helped make that vaccine said they were wrong, and they mandated it anyway. They originally mandated it in Texas, and so many girls died that I think Perry was the governor then, that they started investigating and found out one of Perry's aides. I'm sorry, that was somebody opening their microphone. Elizabeth, did you want to say something or comment, or did your mic just pop open? Okay. So they found out that one of Perry's aides had been paid off. I don't know what happened to him. I didn't follow it. Jessica Burris has a question for you, Richard. Does ozone oxidize metals inside the body?
Well, actually, the word she's using there is iodize, and I'm not sure quite that's what she means. Ozone is an antioxidant. Ozone is trivalent oxygen, or it's a whole show. But no, it is an oxidant in the sense that what it does, how it kills viruses, is that it's so active, has such a high ORP, oxidative reduction potential, that when it disattaches, because oxygen is a diatomic molecule, meaning it always wants to be O2, and how ozone is produced through a high corona discharge, meaning it disassociates that cluster, that O2, and makes it O3 temporarily, that O1 bonds to cell walls very quickly, specifically pathogens and things that have a particular charge, and it kills them on contact because it is such a strong oxidant, it just blows the cell wall. So in the sense of metals, it would cause them to oxidize, but it's the getting them out of the system that's the trick. So that's another show.
Okay, we'll take care of that. This we talked about Gardasil and how Gardasil was really geared toward inner city poor and rural America, and there was actually an article in support of that that we have on our website. But here's a new one written November 8th. Tetanus vaccines found spiked with sterilization chemical to carry out race-based genocide against Africans. I find this equally despicable. Sometimes I don't have a dirty enough word to call these people. But I think this supports what we said, that they were trying to sterilize rural America and inner cities people. But there it is. And I will put the link. This is an article that was put out by Mike Adams' new group, where they're going to give you the news without dogma. And this leads into what we're going to be talking about with this movie. We're going to talk about Doctored first, and it's by Jeff Hayes also. We're going to introduce him in just a few minutes, but I wanted to share the keynote. Many of you have been asking. We've got a new keynote. And based on the election, I put up this poster on the keynote, We try to put up things that are thought-provoking. It is a farmer walking down a path toward a barn, and he's got his back turned to us and bib overalls. Men in denim built our country. Men in suits have destroyed it. I think the American people have spoken that the men in the suits are not in favor at the moment. And I think Obama is absolutely delusional, that's my opinion, when he says only a third of you voted, so I'm going to go with the other two-thirds that would have supported me, and I'm going to see this as a mandate to do what I want to do. He's a man in a suit. He's saying all of the people who did vote and voted against his policies, because he's the one that said all of our policies, his policies are on the platform. But that's just crazy. I did not like Bush either for what he did with the wars and 9/11 and whatever. I guess I don't like either party. But those in office right now ought to take heed that people have spoken. The other thing that we put up, and I haven't put two up there yet. Hey, if someone treats you like crap, just remember there's something wrong with them, not you. Normal people don't go around destroying other human beings. That goes for all of us, and that goes double for Congress. So keynote. Richard, do you want to explain what a keynote is?
I love the keynote. It was so perfect. That was another reason I was laughing when we first started, and we were talking about it, is that first thing this morning when Sherry and I were first talking, she was saying how, oh, I fit right into the keynote because I was really sounding sinusy. And the keynote is this amazing thing that Sherry and, well, no, I won't put you in the category of agencies. Other agencies like NASA and Sherry monitor this thing. I think Sherry actually knows what it is, whereas they're still going, what is that? And it's an emanence or a sound that is, or a tone that's coming from the universe. This is not like peacock feathers and incense. This is an actual tone coming from the cosmos. And Sherry does this thing called the keynote, which is this amazing, you know, workup by her software that gives us information about the trend of the keynote for a period of anywhere from 5 to 7-ish kind of days.
So thank you. This is the keynote for November 11th, 2014, and I've titled it Environmental Influences on Health and Wellness. And you can jump in and laugh when it's appropriate, when it pertains to you here. The colors blue-green, turquoise, as we move into winter in the Northern Hemisphere via the energy of Scorpio, which is represented astrologically by the note of G. Genetic frequencies for psoriasis, dry, red, patchy, scaly skin, are upon us and have been with us for many days now. If people are wondering why they're having flare-ups, it may be the frequencies coming to Earth from our solar system. You could consider food sensitivities, but this time it's not likely your fault for what you're eating. B12, a cofactor associated with skin, is also on the rise in the next few days, so you might want to adjust a few more B12 foods, usually animal products, fish, meat, poultry, eggs, milk, cheese, some cereals. I've heard that peanut butter has B12, but I couldn't find a reference. Yeast has been reported as a good vegetarian source of B12. You don't need much B12, but you do need it for energy, blood formation, and cell division. The virus for the common cold is sneaking up on us, and in keeping with Mother Nature's wisdom, ascorbic acid, part of vitamin C, or the other way around, known to strengthen the immune system, is active as well. Do you want to comment there, Richard?
Wow. You know, nature is really amazing. If we just stop messing with, you know, what nature does, nature really, that's an amazing concept that, you know, common cold is up. Okay, so is vitamin C. Wow. I love that.
I thought you were going to comment on your stuffy nose this morning.
No, I've done alkalol and I did a gram of vitamin C, and so I feel much better now. Thank you.
Your voice is better too.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. for those suffering with muscle stiffness and strength issues, DOPA, the precursor for dopamine, will come into play on Monday, tomorrow. Dopamine is part of the cascade that produces the neurotransmitters of dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine, all of which are involved with appetite and, I see a typo, appetite and weight control. I will fix that. Muscles coming into stress include the levator scapulae, your shoulder, the hamstring, back of your thigh, quadratus lumborum, lower back, and the tensor fasciata, which is sort of connective tissue stuff in the hip. We also want to announce that, I think it's in December, that we are going to be giving away our big $2,200 lab piece of equipment. So if any of you are interested in knowing how we're going to give that away, please get in touch with Marie at the office. And our phone number is at the top of our website, heading soundhealthoptions.com, 740-698-9119. And for those of you who are writing to me right now through my email and through Skype, they're saying they're missing the show, they can't get on, something's wrong. Well, you can go down to the bottom left of our homepage, and the show will be up there in about 20 minutes. It'll be up tomorrow for you to watch, but in about 20 minutes for you to see. And it's also on something called Stitcher. You want to talk about that, Richard?
Sure. The shows are available always on both Stitcher, my favorite application, where you can be played anywhere, either on an iOS or Android or Windows machine, you know, phones or your computer, you know, anywhere. And it's a free app where you can go in and search for Sherry Edwards, and all the shows that we've done will show up, and you'll be able to play them on whatever device you want and also share them. So if you like a show, it's easy. Right on that page where you're listening to the show, there are tabs for sharing to your, you know, favorite social media. And all the shows are also available for those that are inclined to use iTunes. You can go to the podcast section of iTunes and search for Sherry Edwards, and all the shows are there as well. But the Blog Talk Radio player at the bottom of the Sound Health Option page, as Sherry says, will be, that show will be there in about 15 minutes after we finish the show.
And we've been contacted by a couple of other, actually three other radio stations that want to replay or rebroadcast our shows. So Richard is working on that, so we'll see what happens with it. And I don't understand why my computer's going do-do-do-do, but we'll just have to put up with it. Richard, we're going to have, we hope everybody goes to look at that keynote and goes to check out our site. We put up new things and a lot of free things all the time for people. We have a bonus software up this week, I think. I think it's maybe allergies. I can't remember. But every month we have a new software that we give away, and the class is there for you to learn to use it. So I bet there's not a lot of websites that give you software and how to use it for absolutely free. You do have to register it, but that's it. You don't have to pay for it. And in keeping with that, we're going to talk about Jeff Hayes, who's written several movies, two of which we want to talk about today. And for those of you who don't know about Jeff Hayes and who he is, Richard, would you give us a little intro?
I'd love to. We interviewed Jeff Hayes, I'm not sure, sometime in 2012 after he produced the film Doctored. Well, I'll just read this. He was great. He's a passionate, driven man making, you know, great movies. And speaking of passion for, you know, following his passion for sharing truth and exposing the controversy that all too often surrounds it, Jeff produced Doctored in 2012. Doctored, following a deep and troubling investigation, reveals the unsigned tactics of the medical establishment.
Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry, I was just trying to get ready.
That's okay. I felt like I needed a musical backdrop. That was amazing. Medical establishment exposes deception and criminality at the highest levels of the American Medical Association and finally shares the stories of victims left in its wake. Doctor has sold over 200,000 DVD copies since its release in theaters in September of 2012, making it one of the most successful independent distributed DVDs of 2013. Following up on themes uncovered in interviews for Doctored, Jeff is currently producing and has now released the film Bought, taking a deep dive into the business of big pharma, the controversies of the vaccines, and the truth about GMOs and American food supply. The film has already developed the support of some of the world's most acclaimed experts in research, medicine, holistic care, and natural health. Based upon the film's trailer, and I know we're going to show a segment, has been dubbed controversial by media outlets, even though it focuses on educating the public and arming people globally with the truth and facts about big pharma, vaccines, and the food supply. Jeff believes that each person has the right to the truth and be empowered by the facts in order to make educated decisions about their own health, food, and medicine.
Okay, we're going to show three little clips from Doctored that we talked about before. And then Jeff has sent us the movie Bought. It is on YouTube. He's got it up there, I think, just for a short time. But he sent us pieces of, well, we've got the whole movie. If we have time, we're going to play some of the end of it, because I think that's the most profound part. But these are just little snippets from Doctored.
Not interested in your MS. I'm interested in you being well and you being healthy. So let's just stop talking about the MS for a second, or whatever the diagnosis that they come in with. And I say, no matter what, between now and the end of your life, and I don't know when that's going to be, what is your greatest chance to have a wonderful experience between now and then? The things that kill 80% of us are chronic illness, lifestyle illness. Literally, 8 out of 10 people will die of lifestyle illness, of chronic illness. It's suicide by lifestyle. How we answer the question, why are people chronically ill, determines everything downstream from that. So if you believe people are chronically ill because they have an innate defect genetically, then you don't believe you can prevent. And your solution to get them well isn't about getting them well at all. It's how to palliate them along the predetermined path of worsening chronic illness and early death. And that's the system, isn't it?
So who sold us the bill of goods and why?
Because there's money in sickness, James. It's the leading industry in the world.
The biggest contradiction in our culture today is calling medicine healthcare. Medicine is not healthcare, it's sick care. And when you take sick care and provide it to a culture like healthcare, then you end up with a sick culture. And that's why we spend $2.7 trillion per year on what we call healthcare, and we're incredibly sick as a culture.
I don't think any of us would have a problem spending that much money if we got results, but we're not getting the results for that investment. We're not going to be able to afford these choices. It's a simple, basic reality. It's a fatally flawed system that eventually, most experts believe, will crash.
I think that pretty much sets the basis for what we're going to talk about. That was section 20.56 in the movie. We're going to go to 48.45. I picked these out because I thought they were the most profound pieces of this movie. 48.45. They're just little snippets.
And we're imaginable form of high-priced entertainment.
This action constitutes the largest health care settlement in United States history.
Now, to you and I, $3 billion sounds like an enormous amount of money, and quite frankly, it is. But when you compare that to the profits of the drugs that GlaxoSmithKline were fined for as far as their practices, it's a cost of doing business at that point, but lives are lost in the meantime. I mean, people are dying. Nobody goes to jail.
As a pharmaceutical rep, I had a six-figure salary before I was 30 years old. I had a company car. I had a stock portfolio. I don't have any of those things now. Now I have a bunch of karma to reverse. Now I have a conscience issue that I have to deal with.
Our beautiful little girl, Candace, died by hanging 4 days after ingesting 100 milligrams of Zoloft.
Found Jacob hanging from the rafter in our attic. It wasn't the disease that caused my daughter to viciously mutilate herself. It was the drug.
These parents believe the drug companies had evidence there was a risk, but never told them.
They weren't given good information. They had no idea that they were taking a risk that this child would go into their room and hang themselves. They were 7 years old. How many seven-year-olds hang themselves? They don't if they're not on these drugs.
I think that's incredible. A drug rep coming out and saying we need to fix this. The next little section was 5513. I hate this part.
Or they're covered by Medicaid. So therefore, you have a guaranteed reimbursement in terms of insurance, and you have a refill, a guaranteed refill consumer, because the doctors are going to encourage the patients to refill their prescriptions. The parents are going to make them refill their prescriptions. So this is a marketing ploy in trying to get our children on drugs, because they have recognized that not only are they all covered by insurance, but they're lifelong customers if they can get them on drugs at an early age.
Utah's Division of Child and Family.
Lifelong customers if you can get them on drugs at an early age. Now, this is doctored. This is the movie that he did prior to this. And at 105, there's another section that just is frightening.
Advanced cancer, seek the medical treatment of their choice.
Drug companies will not go to market with a drug that cures. That principle holds true for cancer. If there is a cure for cancer, everybody in this huge society that has been developed would be without a job. And so it makes you question the motivation.
I did not want to undergo chemotherapy, which I had a new name for, chemotherapy.
There's no way the chemotherapy can cure malignant brain tumors. It doesn't happen. They did something good for a while. Now is the time that they should gradually fade away, because they cannot cure.
There is another young man that testifies here. It's a longer piece. I'm just going to tell you about it. His doctor wanted to put him into a research project because he had cancer. And they said, well, show us, the parents said, well, show us the proof. They went to another doctor. The kid didn't have cancer. They took these parents to court to try to take their child away from them and put him in this cancer study. But what it turned out to be was they needed more people in this study. And even though this kid didn't have cancer, they wanted to put him in the cancer study and give him cancer drugs. The drug companies were willing to spend this child's life because they needed one more person in their study. And a lot of this section is about testimony before Congress about what the government's trying to force the people into. This is about the companies are exempt.
Vaccine that's been administered since 1970. Literally billions of dollars have been spent in paying off the families of these injured children. The requirement is that they must not tell that they were given any money or how much money they received.
It's hard to believe sometimes she's so sick.
This is a travesty. There is no industry in America, other than the vaccine companies, that is immune from suits. We haven't given that guarantee to any other form of industry, and it certainly should not be given to an industry that the health and welfare of our children is so dependent upon.
Think about what they're saying here. The drug companies actually had meetings and were teaching people to get the children on drugs at a very early age so that they could have a customer for life. They are immune from prosecution, and they keep getting more and more bold by what they put in Now, that's not the one I wanted. They're more and more bold about what they put in these vaccinations. This is what Jeff Hayes is trying to stop. This is the 13 minutes promo, what Big Pharma is getting away with. And the gist of this is about those vaccines and what's happening with it.
So how many weeks are you?
26.
Do you know what you're having?
A girl.
What's her name?
Aria.
A mother's instinct is very strong, and we were given that because it helps us protect and nurture our children so they can grow up to survive us. It's very arrogant to say that mothers should not be able to exercise not only their intelligence, but their mother's instinct when making healthcare decisions for their children.
Never goes away. And I want a better future for my children. I'm frightened for my children. We need to turn it around.
When the flu shots first came out that year, 2,500 women who were pregnant aborted after they got the flu shot. That's a statistic you can look up. That's a bit what they're talking about.
Didn't used to see chronic, debilitating diseases in children until recently. And so we know that it's something we've done, all the obesity, all the attention deficit, autism. We didn't see these things then. This is relatively new. And so relatively new, what have we introduced? Genetically modified foods, which have genes that have been spliced and mended with other genes, genes from not only different species, but different kingdoms of animals. They're not even closely related. We also have introduced a lot of vaccinations, and in those vaccines, we've got attenuated viruses. We've got aluminum. We've got mercury. Do we know it's the vaccines? Do we know it's the GMO? Do we know it's food? We don't know. We know that this is not normal. We know that this is not what children looked like 200 years ago, even 100 years ago. We've seen chronic disease multiply exponentially with children. It's so ubiquitous right now.
So Porter is the second of my four kids, born totally healthy, and when he was 4 months old, he went in for the typical well baby checkup, had a spate of vaccines. We were awoken at about 11 o'clock at night by the worst high-pitched scream I've ever heard, and it was one of those experiences where you've never heard this sound before and you know something is just horribly wrong. So we ran down, and I picked him up, and his head flopped to the side, and he was boiling hot. Turned out he had 105 fever. We gunned it into the hospital and got in there and kind of handed off this floppy, limp baby to the doctor, and he proceeded to go into a grand mal seizure. And that was when I knew, boy, the world has changed. Can you stand up for a minute? We're going to sit on a chair, okay? All right, let's get your leg out. Okay, stand up. Come on, have two. Porter, do you want to do your puzzle? There you go. That started this whole trajectory that ended with where he is today, a 20-year-old young man who wears diapers and a seizure helmet and can't talk and has intractable seizures.
And what's his diagnosis?
His diagnosis is brain injury from the pertussis vaccine. He also has psychiatric diagnoses. He's autistic. He has mental retardation. It's kind of a death without an actual death. It's a death of all your dreams. It's a death of having a normal family.
And so did you go through the compensation program?
We did. So it was One of the most acrimonious experiences I've had, there were enormous bills running up throughout this process because Porter was in physical therapy, occupational therapy, you know, on special diets, having special transportation. He was admitted to the hospital 12 times in 1 year, constantly in the ambulance, you know, meds for this. All of that kind of payment, much of which isn't covered even by insurance, we were paying for. Porter's dad has 2 master's degrees. I happen to have a doctorate. And we had the ability for our families to find a lawyer and have the resources to pay for things. Without that, I have no idea how a family would, A, know what to do, and, B, be able to navigate the system.
It was never set up as a court.
It wasn't.
No. It was set up as a compensation program. It was set up to be administrative. And functions now with none of the protections of a court. No rules of civil procedure. No rules of evidence.
Mary
no discovery.
Holland,
no jury. No real judge who's looking at the facts and the law. And 90% of the cases have to go through a causation process. They have to prove that the injury that the child or the adult suffered was due to the vaccine. There's very little science. So proving causation is extremely difficult.
We understand some children will have a bad outcome. We say that out of one side. We set up a court to help you out of the other. And then when you go through it, you would have thought that we're talking about Area 51 and UFOs that were complete nutcases suggesting there might be a link. And it just was very confusing. And finally, after almost 7 years, we quote-unquote, you know, won our case. Then you start the process of life care planning, which is a whole nother experience where the government sends in their own life care planner to figure out what it's going to cost, what his annuity should be for paying for his needs. And so we had a woman come out, and she spent probably an hour and a half with Porter and went back to Washington and wrote a life care plan that basically negated everything his therapists who deal with him day in and day out said he needed therapy. She argued with us over the number of diapers he would need. If you're mandating vaccines and you're having us sign something saying they might be injured and you have a court set up for when they are injured, don't rake the parents through the coal. Don't humiliate the parents. Don't ostracize the parents who then choose to go and get help.
And can I ask you what they finally settled on?
The total amount was about $7 million. Meanwhile, my marriage blows up very predictably. So sad, but it's just so grueling.
How do your neighbors, your friends, family receive the information that Porter's injuries were from his vaccination?
It's probably easier to talk about in our case because the government has not only acknowledged it, the government pays for all of his care as a result of his vaccine injury. And so I often will talk about it, but then in the next breath I'll make it clear we're not nuts and the government's validated this. I think most people don't have that. I am not anti-vaccine. I think vaccines are a godsend in many ways. But let's concentrate on something that's neutral to start with, which is vaccine safety. People getting educated about their health, the vaccines being made as safe as possible. And then when and if the horrible, unfortunate thing happens, that kids have a side effect, then let's take care of those kids.
I came from a family that was driven. My parents were both the first generation of their families. Their parents were born in Europe, came with nothing. My grandmother ran away from Russia when she was 17. And so it was just in the family and kind of expected that we'd always read, that we'd always learn, and that we need to better ourselves and also better society. So I went to medical school. I always felt that I had to pursue science because I need to do something that makes a difference. We've gone from looking at things scientifically to looking at what's best for the industry. The industry is too powerful, and you as a mother, you as a father, you as an individual need to keep your eyes and ears open. What we see today is frightening, and it needs to wake everybody up.
When you consider that we have many fundamental unanswered questions,
Kelly Brogan,
you have to
MD
wonder,
now,
what is the urgency? And the only answer to that question is profit.
the vaccine industry is a billion-dollar industry. Look at the pharmaceutical industry. And similarly, the patenting of seeds and the sale of pesticides and the commandeering of the food supply taken hold of our entire society, and it's led to enmeshment between our government and industry that's almost inextricable. They're all the same folks, you know, they're all the same people.
All these things have a common thread with things that are going into our body.
Patrick,
and the most disturbing aspect of this is the fact that big dollars and big business can buy votes and initiatives within the culture and lead to a fundamental compromise of our human rights, the consequence of which is that our lives and our well-being is all being bought.
This isn't an angry fight. This isn't a war,
Louise,
despite what
Habakkuk,
the media wants
health advocate.
This is actually an incredible undertaking of community that's happening. And I see parents doing the research, reading the science. They're sharing information with each other. They're finding their own experts. And they're forming powerful networked communities. And they're saying, now I have a better idea of what's going on. I have things to do. I have people to reach out to. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to go about it, but I'm part of a community that's figuring it out.
There's a lot of information that's overwhelming and negative, but it's important that everyone understands it. And I love your message that it's positive, that you know you can take things into your own hands and say no and carve your own way.
Oh, do you love Abby? Here. Hey, Abby, come here.
A little girl.
So many questions in the air. What kind of information are you gathering to make decisions on what you're going to put into your children's bodies?
Well, I think as a mother, if you look at what's happening objectively, you can't be denied that these illnesses are on the rise. And the scientific community officially doesn't have any answers for us. So it leaves us as mothers to look elsewhere.
Where do you look? We look to pediatricians, and the first time I questioned the safety of certain vaccines, the mood in the room changed so much. I didn't know that it would spark such a strong reaction from my peers and people who know me and love me and people who I know and love.
We're trying to step back and say, hold on a minute, what are we putting into our bodies with a chemical injection? What are we putting into our bodies through our mouths? Something like 70% of all the antibiotics in America are going into livestock. You are what you eat, but what I eat, what are they eating?
As a mom, I just want what's best for my kids, and I'm not afraid to question.
When are people finally going to wake up and state that the emperor has no clothes? We all will be sick. We all will need medical attention. Until people make a stand, nothing's going to change. What's funny is after being out of the business for so long, I now realize that the docs that were rep friendly and
Black
loved the reps coming in,
representative,
I don't know if I'd go see
sales
them. I have a new respect for those doctors that didn't want drug reps in their office.
Hi, I'm Jeff Hayes, the producer of Bought. Thank you for coming and watching the first 13 minutes of the film. I can't wait for you to see the rest of it. I can't wait for the whole country, the whole world, to see the rest of this film. We've really done a good job. We're releasing this in kind of a unique way. We're using the Yekra player. You might have seen or heard the movie Thrive. It was a film that came out a few years ago that's been downloaded 23 million times. That was on the Yekra player, and we're trying to recreate that and do the same thing. We're doing an exclusive online release that for 6 weeks only. The film is going to be available from October 10th through the next 6 weeks, and then we're going to pull it offline and do a small theatrical release. So this is an online, pre-theatrical, exclusive, online-only event. And the way we're going to do it is by having affiliates get the word out there. So we're excited that you came here. All the information you need to be an affiliate is on this page. And yes, we compensate you for doing so, but the key to this is a grassroots effort to get this film out. And I can't tell you how much we appreciate you taking the time to be a part of this. Everything you need is here. If you need anything else, don't hesitate to contact us. Thank you.
I think that's incredible. We've signed up to be an affiliate, and we're giving all of the funds back so that they can get this out to more people and to the public. One of the things that Richard and I talked about is a law that happened in 1905. You want to talk about that, Richard?
I'm taking a deep breath. Yes, all this, the phrase, under police power, the government can force you to vaccinate, that's an actual quote from the law that is being used today to still tell people you can't refuse. That foundational law was set on a case called Jacobson versus Massachusetts, and that court case was in 1905. 1905. You know, they weren't giving 46 vaccinations before the age of six in 1905. But that's what the case law is still held up on today, is that's where that comes from, that the police power, the government, can force you to vaccinate. And Sherry and I were sort of talking about this before the show, that, you know, I think that's one of the things that somebody needs to start a petition or a thing that goes to Congress and says, you know, this needs to be thrown out. This needs to be changed. You know, what's happening today is being based on a law that was made in 1905. That just blows my mind.
Over 100 years.
Yeah.
Well, if we get together in a couple of ways, one, in writing letters or petitions to our local people, now not the Congress because they just kind of throw them in the trash, but to our local people, local representatives, and talk to them about this, take them copies of this bot because you can download it from YouTube. Take them copies, ask them to see it, and this one's 13 or 14 minutes long. This, we put the link in the chat for you. That's probably all the time you're going to get until you get them interested. And in the whole movie, they have Barbara Lo Fisher that we've talked about a lot. They have the Susan, oh, good grief, I've forgotten her name.
Stephanie Seneff,
but there's also a Susan that came in and talked about vaccinations that we had on the show. A lot of the people that we had on the show ended up in this film, so that tells me that we're in the right direction. Also, it's very obvious that the media and the government is withholding information, distorting information. It's coming out. I saw on the news last night that the Obama administration has taken to court more whistleblowers from the big pharma and GMOs than all the rest of the presidents together. So there is a concerted effort to try to hide this because the money from these companies go into the coffers to elect someone, and then there's payback due. And both of these films talk about this. We would like to ask people to spread this information far and wide to all of your people. Put it on your Facebook, give it out to all of your people on your email list, and talk too about our points of commonality of what we want to see happen. And it all comes out to people's health care before money. So the Guardian program, the Guardian Network, where we're training people to open these bioacoustic centers in their community so we can give them immediately an antidote for a vaccine they were forced to take. We can give them an antidote to these superbugs, Ebola and cholera. If we get these established, and a lot of them are being established through the Guardian Network, people get interested there. Every month they get a new software. They get, I think, three softwares to begin with. They can start their business. They can charge people nothing. And we have people charging $50 for a half hour to help people who have been exposed to radiation. And that software is up 24/7. Every month there's an additional software in the bonus. And then with Guardian, this time we're going to be doing insulin resistance and Alzheimer's. So there's enough to get people started just by, if they have a computer, just need to buy a microphone. And we can get these bioacoustic centers in every community. When you go look at what is going on with Obamacare and the timelines of Obamacare, and I think I have these up here. Obamacare timeline. And one of the things that's little known about Obamacare is there are spending ceilings. They haven't brought those out yet. They are not here yet. But if you had have a catastrophic event, like this woman who needed $7 million for her child that was injured, it's probably not going to happen. So people are going to rely on, go back to natural medicine, herb medicines, because that's all that's going to be available. But take a look at this timeline. I just put this in the chat so that you can see what's going to be happening each year as this goes on. And there's some things about Obamacare I like. Existing conditions don't count. You can have your kid on your insurance till you're 26. There was three things that I liked. But there are thousands that I don't like. Raising Medicare. I love it that the employees here, because they make too little money to even qualify for insurance, they get money back, and they've been able to get dental information or dental coverage. I love it. We're exempt. But we're not going to be exempt for long, because we're going to have to prove that somehow, even through Obamacare, that our people are covered. And they're going to force you into the kind of care they want. Remember, we talked a couple weeks ago, a young man came in who had suicidal thoughts and depression. We sent him to one of our doctors. He was not on, he was on health care, but she was not allowed to see him because she wouldn't bow down to what they wanted of her. And a recent doctor I went to, because mine died, wanted to know if I had a gun in the house, if I had ammunition, all under the guise of, are you suicidal? You know, they make these laws and say, well, that's to protect you. To see if you have a gun, we'll take it away from you if you're suicidal. Well, they're probably going to keep a list and take it away from anybody if they so desire. I don't trust the government. I am afraid of our government. I am afraid of the IRS. I am afraid of the Ohio unemployment people because they make up things. I'm being sued because I'm refusing to pay unemployment on my bank deposits. You only pay that on employees. So this is a step of taking back America, or at least taking back our health care, putting it in your hands. That's what Sound Health Options is all about. Providing tools and solutions in support of self-health. Help us introduce people to the Guardian Network. Introduce people to this film. Become an affiliate yourself. Show it in your community. Richard, last comment?
You can go to, I think you have a link on Sound Health Options, but you can watch the film. You can rent the film for $4.95. So if you want to go online and just sign up to watch the film, I cannot advocate strongly enough for the amount of amazing information that Jeff has gathered in this film. And, you know, it's just amazing, you know, names, facts, you know, this thing about, I'll close with the 1986 Act by our Congress, quotes around our Congress, that reduced or removed almost all liabilities for the pharmaceutical industry and medical practitioners in regard to drugs. Our Congress made that a law. Or the money and the lobbyists who support and advocate for the pharmaceutical and medical practitioners made that a law. So watch the film.
There has to be something wrong when somebody will spend $1 billion to get a job that pays $500,000.
Well, and I think really that, you know, at this point that the level of corruption and level of lobbying that happens in Congress is just mind-melting. And the amount of funding that goes into, I forget, there was a stat in the film where they talked about, it was the Johnson & Johnson case where they were sued by a group and they ended up paying $3 billion for loss of, you know, for their filings, but they already made $44 billion that year. So, you know, that's just like, oh, that's coffee change money, $3 billion. We paid that off and we'll just keep doing it. Doesn't stop them. It just means, oh, we paid that off.
And the cost? Our health. And it's not going to get any better until we do something about it.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here. There's a lot in chat that we couldn't talk about. For those of you who want to keep chat, go to chat, Control A. That'll grab it for you. Control C. We'll catch it. Copy it. And then you can paste it into your Word document and go ahead and read it, because there was a lot of really good information.
Ma'am, there's a ton of information flying by in chat over there at WebEx. It's unbelievable. Yeah, definitely copy that. All right, thanks very much, everybody. Really, I cannot suggest watching, highly recommend watching this film enough, and tell your friends. And we'll see you on Tuesday. It's happy hour on Tuesday. I could use happy hour after this.
We're going to do insulin resistance and Alzheimer's things.
Oh, perfect. I'll try and remember.
Okay.
Later. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, everybody.